many moons ago.
And very interesting a band in Manitoba this week, an interesting topic from my perspective anyway. Gordon Goldsborough is here from the Manitoba Historical Society. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Bruce.
Tell us about what we're discussing this week, something about detective work.
That's right. You know, I recently had an opportunity to speak with a group that has a hobby involving some of the same detective work that I do, to share these weekly stories with our listeners. That group is called the Keystone Detectorists Club.
And I didn't know that that was a word. I actually looked it up myself. Tell us, what is a detectorist?
It is someone.
It's very specific.
You know, it is very specific. And once you hear it, of course, it makes perfect sense. It's someone who uses a metal detector to find lost objects either on or below the ground. There are also detectorists who throw tethered magnets into lakes and rivers. Oh. To see what sort of metal objects right. might attach.
I've seen videos of that. Mm-hmm. So how does a metal detector work?
Well, I'm definitely no expert in this technology, but I understand that metal detectors generally consist of a long metal pole with a control box near the end that is held by the operator. At the opposite end, there is a circular flat coil. The operator holds the coil near the ground, and the coil transmits an electromagnetic field. Any object within the field becomes energized, and it retransmits an electromagnetic field that the detector's coil can measure. The device sends a signal back to the control box where it's processed and it's shown to the operator in some form, and they then can make detections about, well, basically any object that responds to the detector's electromagnetic field. It must be made of some kind of metal, so steel or iron, you know, ferrous metals, or non-ferrous metals such as aluminum, copper, lead, nickel, gold, silver, platinum. These are the things you can find with a metal detector.
So these guys, these detectorists, they're sort of like treasure hunters?
Well, that's how some people see them. But, you know, after the experience I had with the Keystone Detectorists, I think that's a kind of unfair characterization. Yes, some detectorists are out to find objects with commercial value, and they do find things like coins. But this is not what motivates, I think, a lot of them. After finding a metal object, they want to do research on what it is, you know, how old it may be and where it came from. You know, these are the same sort of questions that I tackle in my research about abandoned buildings. Now, there are bona fide research uses of metal detectors, too. So archaeologists often use them to find metal objects at their excavation sites. And in fact, one of the people at the Detectorist Club that I met when I attended their meeting was a rather prominent Manitoba archaeologist. And I really don't think he's looking for buried treasure, at least not in the financial sense of the word treasure.
Right. So like historical treasures, right?
Exactly so.
So what kind of historical treasures do the Keystone Detectorists find them?
Well, if any of our listeners are interested in learning about the sorts of things that these folks are finding, I encourage you to check out the website of a fellow named Roger Fontaine. He's the leader of the Keystone Detectorists. His website, MetalMan9, MetalMan, then the digit 9.ca, provides huge numbers of photos of the items that Roger has found over the past 5 years or so.
Oh, nice, yeah.
Well, so for example, back in October of this year, at an agricultural field south of Letellier, Roger found, and here's a list, a 5-cent Canadian coin from 1885, a 5-cent American coin from 1887, and then numerous bits of metal, bolts and nuts. Probably they'd fallen off of farm machinery through the years as the farmer worked the field.
Right. So these are interesting objects to find, whether it's, you know, worth the effort or not. Some people would think so. Some people may not. But it doesn't sound like there's a lot of value in what he found there.
No, and that's the point. The likelihood of finding something lucrative is low. You know, I think the motivation for most detectorists is the thrill of the hunt rather than any monetary value of their finds. Well, so later last month, Roger searched a roadside park near Portage-la-Prairie, and the sum total of his discoveries, here's a list, a one U.S. dime, six U.S. pennies, 28 Canadian pennies, and of course, they're not worth anything anymore because right. we don't use use the pennies anymore. 26 bottle caps, 15 screw caps, 51 pull tabs, wow, and one sardine can. Oh, those sardine cans, they're worth a fortune, you know.
Well, it makes sense, too, that there'd be so many pull tabs in a park, right? So people taking
beverages, drinking
alcoholic or otherwise. Sure.
Yes. Well, you know, and at other times, Roger has found tokens, medals, musket balls, and, well, frankly, lots of unidentifiable metal scraps. But I think his most interesting find last month, at least for me, was a copper hotel tag that at one time would have had a key fastened to it. You know, if you remember the old hotels, they would give you a key that had a little fob on them.
Yeah, I can remember back in the ancient times, yes.
And the fob would, of course, give the name of the hotel on it, and you know, so that if you ever lost a thing, it might get back to the hotel. Well, they found one of those, and there was an engraving on the tag that said Room 8 in the Albion Hotel in Toronto. Now, it also listed the name of the proprietor of the hotel, somebody named Jay Mossop, and they did a search online. It turned out that fellow was the proprietor of the hotel in the 1870s.
No kidding.
Yeah, like 150 years ago. And they know that because by 1884, the hotel had a different proprietor. In other words, that key tag was 150 years old. You know, now, what they suspect is that maybe there was somebody here visiting Manitoba from Ontario that had somehow walked away with the key from the hotel and dropped it for whatever reason, you know, and who knows why or who knows how, what the circumstances were. That's really the tantalizing part of the story. And Roger is presently doing research in archives to see if he can find an answer for, you know, maybe there was a land surveyor here that maybe had brought along by mistake and then just dropped it because figured, oh, heck, I don't need this thing.
So that probably makes it worthwhile for a guy like Roger, even though he's, you know, finding 28 pennies and 51 pull tabs in a park, that this is kind of like a prized sort of item that sets him off in a whole different direction.
Yeah, and he learned something interesting that would never have been possible without this find. So, and again, not valuable in the financial sense, just interesting as a historical artifact.
So where are metal detectors allowed everywhere? Where can you use them?
Well, that's a key point. If one wants to use a metal detector on private property, you do require permission from the landowner. Otherwise, you're trespassing. And anything you take, no matter how valueless, like a pull tab, in theory, that is theft. Now, it is possible, of course, to use a metal detector on public property, such as things like schoolyards and parks and beaches, although there are places you shouldn't go, things like archaeological sites, cemeteries. No, those are off limits. And you should check in case there are jurisdictional regulations that prohibit metal detecting on public land. So, for example, it is illegal to dig holes in national parks and national historic sites here in Canada. Hmm. Or to remove historic artifacts from said holes unless you have an official permit issued by the site manager, you know, the park superintendent or whatever.
Right.
If you do detect a buried piece of metal, and of course you might want to dig a hole to retrieve it, the ethical code for detectorists says that you should always fill the hole back in when you're done. So, you know, it leaves basically no trace of your digging. And they say if you do find something of potential historic interest, an ethical detectorist should show it to a local historian or a museum curator, just so, you know, that historical information might be useful to someone.
Rules full of morals and values. I didn't have any idea.
Well, and they're voluntary, so it's, you know, it's only up to the individual.
Right. So have you ever used one?
Yes.
In your work?
Once. Back in April of this year, I talked about my futile search for the principal meridian marker west of Headingley.
Right.
I had borrowed a metal detector from a friend, and I obtained permission to search from the family who owns the farmland where it's believed the marker is located. We hoped to find a metal survey pin, and it could have been perhaps as much as a foot or two below the ground. But we hunted for several hours and found nothing but, well, bits of barbed wire, rusty nails, and various other waste metal. Nothing of value and no survey pin. However, I readily admit that my knowledge of metal detecting technique is pretty near zero. So that could explain our lack of success. And I did tell this story to the folks at the Keystone Detectorist, and they are gung-ho to try again.
Oh, nice.
So I hope that next summer we might be able to go out and truly find the principal meridian marker.
That would be good. And I'm sure you'd bring the results here to
the
show.
Oh, I would, indeed.
I remember a couple of summers ago that I had a need for a metal detectorist, and I didn't even know it. I'd lost a key getting out of my vehicle between my vehicle and the front steps of my house. Couldn't find it anywhere, and I spent a lot of time looking. And as it got darker in the day, looking with a flashlight, I couldn't believe that I couldn't find it. But I found somebody on Kijiji who came over on his bicycle, and it wasn't anywhere where I thought it would be. In fact, it was farther away, so it got, you know, inadvertently flung out of my hand or something. But he found it in my front grass, and I was very, very – he did, you know, a slight nominal charge, but I was very grateful to find that key.
Yeah, so there are very beneficial uses of metal detecting.
Sure, and it could be fun too as a hobby, I guess.
Yeah.
So if somebody wants to learn more about the hobby of metal detecting, how can they do it?
Well, I'd encourage them to talk to someone who is an active detectorist, like the ones I met at my visit to the Keystone Club, before they run off and buy a metal detector. Yes, you can go on one of the online services and you can find all sorts of them for sale. The club members told me that detectors range typically in price from, you know, a couple of $100 to over $1,000. And what really distinguishes them are all the bells and whistles. My advice, though, would be to start small and see if this is something you enjoy before you invest an awful lot of money. But if you do want a local source to buy, check out a Facebook page that's called OK John Metal Detecting, all one word, OK John Metal Detecting. And they've got a whole bunch of detectors there ranging in price. I'm not endorsing them, not getting any money from this. But I think it's just interesting to see what sort of technology is out there.
Yeah, it is very interesting. And again, if you're a hobbyist or a historian or something like that, you know, it can be – you're getting exercise at the very least, right?
Absolutely. And getting fresh air and you're getting to see the country. Nothing wrong with that.
So that's great. Thanks for that, Gordon. What's up for next week?
Well, recently we've heard about plans to resuscitate a long-abandoned building in the St. Boniface area of Winnipeg. We discussed that building here 6 years ago in 2018, so I suspect our listeners have forgotten all about it. Next week, we're going to revisit this building and other facilities like it that address the historical question, how have we taught teachers?
Interesting. Okay, we'll learn about it more in 7 days. Thanks, Gordon.
Bye-bye for now.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons ago.